and Dr. Salmon.
All right, now we're going to move right into regulations. So if you will refer to tab E, we will look at the first, which is grading and reporting. So Mary is right up here.
Yep.
You will remember, board members, that we did a recent survey on what school systems were doing in terms of the COMAR regulation to report their process and policies to us by a certain time every year. I told you that I would be coming back to you in the next month to ask for additional regulations around grading policies. We will also in the future be looking at attendance policies, but today Mary will describe the grading policy that we're suggesting and the modifications to the existing regulation.
Thank you, Dr. Salmon. So you have that information before you, and as Dr. Salmon introduced, this is normally a very short regulation, so you can see we did provide to you, I think, 2 months ago as that whole extensive bit of information where we looked at all of the different local school systems. And a number of them had policies and a number of them did not have policies. So in the particular area, what we are asking is that, one, that there be a timeline for grade changes, not to exceed 30 school days, because that, for example, if it's in the end of June, it would potentially have to go into September, so we're talking about school days, that who is authorized, basically what documentation is required. How will it be audited to make sure that the school system is following and the validity of the grade changes each year? What are, and this would all need to be in their procedures, the appeal procedures. So that includes the grade change questions that you had. The second is on really what are the values of the different grades, and specifically I think the biggest question is what was the value of an E, and we did collect that information. They would have to be clear on that. And the third one, Dr. Salmon mentioned, but for now, explain how attendance does factor into a student's grade. So there is a grading policy regulation, and then in another section of COMAR, there are attendance regulations, not necessarily in the same place, but we are asking for how attendance does factor in. That there would be, by October 1, local school system would file the policy and submit a copy of the grade change validity audit, and that upon submission, we would provide feedback. So that, based on all of the information that we've done, the research into what our present policies are, what's going on, we put this regulation before you for requesting permission to publish this regulation.
Questions from the board? Kyle?
I wanted to ask, in the language of the regulation, it mentions excessive absences. I was wondering, is there an explicit definition for that term?
Yeah, that's a great question. Excessive absences. So one is, as you well know, chronic absenteeism has been part of our accountability with ESSA, and we do have a definition of chronic absenteeism, and that's absent 10%. You have to be enrolled at least 10 days and absent 10% or more of those days. Is how we've defined chronic absenteeism. I think we do have to take a look at the language in the attendance policy on excessive absences, because I think we'll probably have to align that with our new reg.
Okay, so this one...
Our new ESSA plan, sorry.
Okay, so the excessive definition then, or the use of the word excessive in here, it doesn't have... yet, I guess, a clearly explained definition besides the chronic absenteeism?
It actually does, excessive absences, but I think it's defined as our previous definition. I'm going to have to kind of looking. We have, I'm not finding it really quickly, but we can take a look at that. I believe that when I checked, it's the old definition of chronic absenteeism, which now has to be updated to what is in our ESSA plan. But basically, it's absent 10% or more days.
Okay, and that does not include if they're excused or unexcused absences.
It the reason is why all, I, it's all absences.
Okay. The reason why I just wanted to make that point was because I wanted to make sure that it was something that was going to be objective rather than subjective, because I know sometimes, especially, you know, for whatever reason, students may be absent. And I think that it's important to make the distinction clear so that way there's no sort of misinterpretation by anyone. It's just clear all the way through. So thank you.
Dr. Right. Hardingson, Dr. Lee. So I don't have any issue with the content that's in here. I think given what we've seen over the last 6 months to a year, it's necessary. We need to put some real framework around the processes that LEAs use when it comes to changing grades, et cetera. Mm-hmm. I wonder if we haven't, though, missed an opportunity to look at a whole lot more of the real disparate policies in counties related to grading. If again, I just pulled up a sampling of grading policies, and you provided them all to us a couple months ago, but
yes.
When it comes to what the standards are for passing a course, they are all over the map. And that gives me concern, because we give a Maryland diploma. And when the Maryland diploma says you've passed three science courses, one ought to be able to reasonably conclude that the standards for that in Prince George's County or Anne Arundel County are the same as they are in Garrett County. Mm-hmm. And I think this was an opportunity to fix some of that, or to bring some sort of framework to the expectations around grading. I don't want to tell every LEA out there exactly how they have to grade students, but I do think there needs to be a framework around it to create some consistency LEA to LEA. And I won't go through reading some of the really disparate policies that are out there, but the one, again, that jumps off the page at me is there's a county that says credit and grades for students transferring from an accredited school outside of the county will be based upon the grading policy of the sending school. So that means if a student moves from another county into this county, they reserve the right not to give the student credit for courses taken in another Maryland public school until they review that grading policy. That just seems, I mean, if we don't at least have some requirement that counties have reciprocity for grading, boy, that creates all kinds of implications that are troubling to me. So I guess my question is, if staff doesn't recommend putting those kinds of frameworks into this policy, which is titled grading, is there another plan, or is staff satisfied with where things are as the status quo? What is your approach?
Well, Dr. Hardings, I think you make a good point, but I think we have to have, first of all, we have incomplete information, I would say, when we did that survey. We don't have the level of detail from every county that we had from some counties. I think this, as a first step, is where we need to go, and then analyze what else do we need to look at. You know, I think, and I'm going to look to Liz, because, you know, this is a legal issue in terms of local versus state. Locals can set their grading policies and can set their attendance policies within certain parameters. So I would like to see this as a first step, and then if there's additional things that we need to do, like we saw when we did that first survey, then I think we can add to this regulation going forward. But I need to know where we stand, and I don't know that I have all the information that I need to have, as I did from some of those incomplete survey results.
So I'm sorry, if Liz has an answer, I don't want to jump in front of her.
I think what is maybe the critical part of an answer to your question is this regulation will require them to explain the meaning of each grade. So, and I don't know how school systems are used. Sometimes it's a 4-point scale, 5-point scale, A, B, C, F. And then how do we make that? What are we looking at in
terms
of comparability?
What framework do we put around that?
And this regulation will bring that information in. And then it's what you do with it going forward.
So your thought is that we pass this regulation and then we wait until October 1st of the year after it's passed to get all the information in and then consider what changes might be made based on that? Is that the recommendation?
At this point, yes.
That seems like an awfully long process to me. It seems to me we ought to be able to get the information without having to pass a regulation asking LEAs to to send us information on how they grade students.
But this is the this is an audit process, as you see, and it's not just submitting it like the original regulation was. This is a process that once it's submitted, it has to meet. It has to. We have to look at it, and we have to understand that the audit and what they've done showed that they followed their policy. So it's an audit process, just like we do with special education, just like we do with student records. So I think there is more meat to it than we've ever had before.
Dr. Hardings, you did bring up these instances when we had this discussion originally. So I feel like our work is not complete. It's not like this is the first time we're talking about this. So I want to think through, like, how we, if we are going to approve something today, how do we make sure that this process continues? Because it's easy to take care of the low-hanging fruit. Some of this tougher stuff is more important, though, and I don't want it just to linger.
That's my interest, is just to make sure that we're involved in a process that's going to address some of this. Because when you said you were going to develop an emergency regulation that would address grading, I assumed that this would be part of it. I understand you're saying that you can't get there yet, but I'm looking for a process that's not going to take two more years for us to get there.
You could add into the regulation that part about the explanation of the meaning of each grade, an earlier timeline, because the October 1 is really about the audit and the grade change.
Right.
The explanation of the meaning of the grade may be something you want to have earlier than October 1. Is that what you're all saying?
I think the entire policy has to come by October 1, though. Am I reading that incorrectly? That October 1, you shall file its policy on grading and reporting.
You could pull this explanation part out and put a different deadline on it. That's all I'm saying. In terms of expedition.
I guess I'm confused at why we need a regulation to do this. Seems to me if the state superintendent asks local superintendents,
yeah,
I need copies of your grading regulations
she
and policies, we should
That's
be able to get them.
And they got it incomplete.
Some have policies,
so we're
some
further
do
defining
not.
What we want them to make right. sure they have in their grading policies. So hopefully local boards will go back and look at their local policies and make sure that they address all of these things in them, because they don't currently do that statewide. That's what we found out.
Okay. A quick comment?
Well, Dr. Lee first.
All right.
My comment continues on that and asking about accountability. And if you find inadequacies, wouldn't it make sense to put in some kind of timeline or deadline and say they have to rectify that or respond to that within 30 days or something? Because I'm not sure what the penalty is if they give you an incomplete plan.
Yeah, we can do that.
We can do that. I'm writing that down. You are approving, as you know, approving this to publish. So it will give you information as you publish it, and feedback. That's the opportunity. But I can add to respond within 30 days to any missing information. This is being very specific to say, because I did actually bring the policy, and you're right, there's some that are very extensive, and there are others, because we asked what was in your policy, not do you have a practice or you have a form for, and some said we don't address that. And so this is asking that you do address it and give us that information about how it's going to be included.
So what's the penalty if they don't? Is, I guess, my question.
I think that's your question right now. We could, as Dr. Salmon said, we could go back and say, this information is missing, you must respond, and you must respond within 30 days.
Or
you're bad.
Well, or what happens? Is there any teeth to that?
Never.
It is a balance between what you are requiring as a state, really, and what you require, what the local school systems do generally, frequently. They're in many states that we looked at. The policy on grading is an LEA responsibility, with state guidance, state framework, state expectation. I think that's what Dr. Salmon is asking for. Let's get this in policy, in COMAR, because if it you know, if it goes through the process of being published for 30 days, we come back to you with approval or feedback or whatever we got, then you have it in regulation. It's not just do it if you want, but it is part of regulation.
All right, Dr. Finn, and then Dr. Steiner.
Well,
and then I'd like to comment again because I think there's a missing piece here.
Part one of this regulation is fine, the grade change, which is intended to deal with a problem that we all know about, which is belated and mysterious after the fact grade changes. I think the issue that's on the table are parts two and maybe three. And explanation of meaning of each grade is inadequately spelled out here. The only example that is given is, you know, a kind of a number score. And what is your grade correspond to numerically? It doesn't say anything about what is adequate, what is passing, what is this based on. It seems to me that if this is to be pursued, this notion of grading policy as opposed to requirements with respect to grade changes, that the state just can't say, send us your grading policy. The state has to say, here are the things we want to know about your grading policy. And it seems to me there are a lot of things we want to know about the grading policy, and it isn't just what letter grade corresponds to what number. Therefore, it seems to me that the first go-round you had with LEAs, where you basically said, send us your grading policy, needs to be followed up with a kind of a, I don't know, much more specific set of things that we require you to inform us of before you can decide whether to then do something on the basis of that information. So I don't think that the number two, as stated, is adequate to trigger the further pursuit of grading policy.
Dr. Steiner?
So this is a really important issue. Many of you will remember that in the days before Common Core, states would set proficiency targets on their state tests. They would say, this is basic, this is proficient. And researchers had the important idea of aligning those rates with NAEP performance and found out that only one state, Massachusetts, had a proficiency cut score anywhere close to a NAEP proficiency score. And that depending on which side of the North Carolina-South Carolina border you lived, your proficiency level could be dramatically different and in both cases way below NAEP. The point of my telling that story is that I'm trying to cut through the thicket here. What are we really concerned with? We're really concerned with the fact that depending on what county you live in, your A may mean something very different than if you live in the county next door or the county several counties away. That's what we're concerned about. We think there should be a Maryland sense of what proficient means, what an A means. And the question, therefore, of how to resolve that starts with good data. It starts by aligning the distribution of grades against the park scores of the counties. That is basic data that would enable us to show outliers. And I think that's, in my view, that is data that the board should request. And I don't know the proper format. I'm sure the chair will guide me. But I would like to request that data. That way we can see whether there are counties where the grading is way out of alignment with the park scores. That's a start. It's not all the information we need, and Dr. Finn is right, we need more than that. But I think rather than generalized sort of guessing at what information might be useful, let us at least start with our most basic concern, which is that messages to students about what counts as high quality work, adequate work, inadequate work, are reasonably consistent with what park scores are saying.
Okay, just for my clarification, one interpretation of that is we should be concerned. Say there are two districts that have identical park algebra scores, but one county gave all of their algebra students A's, and
right.
the other one gave them all C's.
Right.
So Park is telling us one thing, but the grading policies are leading us to think something else, but also misleading parents and teachers and kids.
Well, the example I will give from a state I won't name in the case of NAEP is that the state had an 80% proficiency score. That is, 80% of its students on fourth grade math were regarded as proficient based on its state standards. NAEP indicated the proficiency rate was 22%. So there was a huge, right, misinformation going on. If a county where, I'm making this up, the proficiency rate on Park on 405 is 30%, and 70% of its students are getting B's and A's, compared to a county nearby where there's a much closer correlation yep. with the Park results, we would have a question. Rightly. And then we could explore with Liz and others what our legal authority is to create a tougher framework. And I'm glad to see the enthusiasm for that approach.
She's always keen for this.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it is a question. I mean, you would think that that this would solve itself. Like, if a district's grades and their Park scores are out of alignment, you would think that a district would solve that, right?
I do not make any such assumption.
So do we, just as a data question, are we able to answer the question? Do we actually know what district grades are? Is that part of the longitudinal data system for all these different courses?
I think we would have to check into that to see about tying grades and Park scores.
Right.
Do you know
to get
some
back
other way to do
that.
This?
I know that there are states that do it. I obviously am not aware of the details of Maryland's data system, but it is presumably not beyond a county to produce a distribution of scores of its fourth grade math students.
As a parent, we would all be really frustrated if our kids were getting A's all along and then they hit the Park test. And
I assure you that's happening.
Dr. Gayton.
Yeah, I just wanted to remind the board that I have asked for this analysis before.
Thank you.
I'm sorry. A correlation between grades and Park scores in particular, and I like the addition of looking at it by LEA as a function of LEA. So at that time, I believe we were led to believe that was possible to look at those. So I will re-enter that request and with the amendment that we also look at it as a function of LEA.
Well, we'll check that out, but I still don't think that gets to, you know, that's another study, and I don't have any problem. If we can provide it, we'll provide that data. I would like to have more teeth to what we have currently now, which is everything that's not in italics, which means that currently only school systems have to send us their grading policy by October 1. So I would like to at least get something out there, and we've got how many months, 3 months or so, 90 days, to look into this more, but I would like to get some feedback from what people think about this, and then we can put our heads together and come up with maybe some better ways to define number two.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd appreciate anybody's suggestions on that. As well as we will also look at the attendance piece next month to see what we might need to do to strengthen that.
I just want to ensure that a month from now the department comes back to us and says whether they can or cannot produce the
data
that has been asked for.
We can do that. Absolutely.
Thank you.
And my concern is even a little more fundamental, I think, than what Dr. Steiner is saying. If one county has a grading policy that says it is prohibited to assign a grade lower than 50% to a task, and another county has a grading policy that says formative assessments will account for 50% of a student's grade and summative assessments will account for 50% of a student's grade, and a student in one county fails and therefore doesn't graduate, that same student with the same capability, the same knowledge, if they did the same thing in the other county, they pass. And they therefore then graduate. That seems like an equity issue to me, and it's something I think I don't know who solves that problem other than this board.
So that's back to a legal question, because right now, as I understand the law, local school systems can set their policies, and we don't have anything that has any more stringent requirements than this regulation. Is that correct, Liz?
Well, we didn't have anything. Let me take a look at, you know, again, state board authority is broad. It's also, and I've always told you, that there is local autonomy and state board power. And how you balance that is the question, and who you bring to the table to discuss that. I'm not saying it's something you couldn't do. It's how you do it.
Okay, so I want to make sure we're solving the problems that are on the table. So one set of problems is solved by, I think people agree with the first half of this. The second one is just a data question. Can we say something affirmatively about the correlation between the grades that districts are giving and park scores? And then there's this other one about equity between districts. I want to make sure we have a strategy to solve all of them. Are there other problems that I haven't identified that we want to solve right now? As long as we get on the path.
Quick question.
Yes.
So are you trying to include those things in terms of what is being asked in, I guess, what they collect and report?
Well, so that is a question. How much of this is solved if we just ask for the right information?
Because I think that's an important part of it, is making sure that some of the things we're talking about in terms of how stringent it is, at least we know what the policy is first, to then be able to say, okay, well, then are you recognizing other policies, because we don't even know what the other policies are in all cases.
All right, then why don't we do this? Why don't we've done this before. Why don't we pull this and take another stab, bring it back in May, also juxtapose this next to the attendance standards, and then if you all have additional suggestions, send those to me, and I will incorporate them into the draft. We'll also may be able to answer whether we can provide that data and the time frame for it, and that way we have a cleaner document when we put it out there.
Good. Okay. Just so for the record, we know everything that we're getting. So one is this, the data question about the correlation. Dr. Hardings, do you want to just articulate what it is, the path that we should go down? What are you trying to solve?
I suppose it starts with Liz, which is what authority does the board have to set some sort of framework around the flexibility that local boards have to determine their grading policies? As I said, I don't want to tell local districts how to determine their grading policies, but I do want to make sure that there is equity among the different LEAs and that passing a course in one county means passing a course in another county. Okay, so I think that starts with a legal question.
Anything
right,
else?
And just to add to that, because it just occurred to me that we don't have to look at all the gradations, but what we would be most concerned about is what is passing.
That's what concerns me the most, because that's what will keep kids from graduating.
Right. So I think that's an enhancement to number two.
Yeah.
So that just came very clear. So I think we can definitely add that piece to it, Mary. We want to know what constitutes passing. So, for example, in my prior district, we didn't have any. We did not give out D's. So you had to pass with a 70%. So many counties may have passed with a 60. I think that's something we can add to that piece.
But to my examples of the two counties, which
right.
actually
I
exist.
You.
I mean, if 50%,
the
if you can't
difference.
Grade lower than 50 and the other's 50 right. summative, 50 formative, I'm not saying either one's right or wrong. I'm just saying they're very different.
But at least we can find that data out initially.
That'd be great.
Okay.
All right, board members, we're
going
to move this to old business for next meeting. So anything else on your mind right now? Let's make sure we get
just
it.
Just to say that the job is to elaborate number two when you come back with a changed draft.
Got it.
Okay.
And we're also going to look at number three in relationship to attendance.
Good.